So today, the third part of our six-part series on going out on the limp. Today, we're talking about to dream the possible dream. Now, we've all been there, right? Going through those deep, desperate moments in our lives where we feel like we're walking in this wilderness. And we've been stripped from everything that is good in our lives and everything that we love and everything that we cherish. But here's what I want you to keep in mind and hold this with you the whole morning. In these moments of despair and where we feel we're lost, standing at an open grave, crying in a hospital room because of what we heard, or just being alone, sighing in my dark, lonely bedroom. Hear this. God will meet you there. Because often in our deepest despair, we have our closest encounters with God and we find our Bethel. Jacob did. And I don't think anyone was more surprised than Jacob himself. I mean, here's a man who stole from his brother, who lied to his father, who was running away for his life, who was on a journey of 800 kilometers away from his home, where he will live for 20 years and not see his family or connect with them again. There was no Facebook, there was no FaceTime, there was no TikTok, there was no Instagram. He would be away for 20 years. He went from having it all. I mean, lived the high life with his mother and his father, and he had herds and he had servants and he had everything that he needed to go becoming a homeless, penniless runaway. And then this moment happens at a place called Luz, later changed to a place called Bethel. I'm going to take you there today in Genesis chapter 28. Going to read verses 10 to 19 with you. So Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Can I just stop it there for a second before I read the rest with you? So here's Jacob, who had it all, now doesn't have a pillow for his head or a sleeping bag. Someone so aptly said, the story of Jacob is the Bronze Age story of the prodigal son. His pigsty is just this barren wilderness around Luz. And like the prodigal son, he's far away from home and he's not there anymore. But the difference between Jacob and the prodigal son is that Luke 15 verse 18 tells us, the prodigal son says, I came to my senses. And when he came to his senses, he said, I will go to my father and I will say to my father, I am sorry, I have sinned. Jacob? Nah. No regret, no remorse, no prayer going to God, no cry. Nothing. He's just passive. And this passivity of Jacob leads us into one of the most beautiful stories of God's unfathomable grace. Grace that has no boundary. Grace that is given freely. So let me read with you the rest of the story. He, that's Jacob, had a dream, in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Let's leave the last three verses for a little later. So be careful. This is the part of the story that we all know so really well, of Jacob and then Jacob's dream. And there's this stairway between heaven and earth where heaven touches earth. And these angels are going up and down on the stairway with God up there. And it's like, yeah, it's an old story. It's an ancient story. We don't really know if it really happened. And how? What do we care? Be careful that we know the story so well that we miss the important things that are said in the story. Because in this moment, as Jacob lying here alone, on his own, away from everything, there, desperate in his barrenness, in this moment, Jacob sees the unseen. Part of what he sees are these angels going up and down the stairway. And in that moment, I think God is reminding Jacob, God is reminding us that we're never alone. Even in those desperate moments, in those moments where we feel alone and barren, we are not alone. There are these unseen, wonderful servants of God that are taking care of us. And you're saying, really? Well, let me read you something. There are angels all around, folks, and they have a job. Hebrews chapter 14, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 14, got it the wrong way around. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for a people who will inherit salvation. Angels are servants that are sent to care for people like us who are to inherit salvation. We're never alone on the journey, friends. Sometimes it just takes a moment for me to stop and realize that God meets me there. And if we need a simple message for the dream of Jacob, it's as simple as God in the highest is always there when we are at our lowest. Jacob was just being Jacob. He didn't care. He didn't pray. He was just heel grabbing. But God cared. God saw. And God acted. Now imagine if that's how God acts when Jacob just does nothing. Imagine what happens when we, in Jesus Christ, when we pray, when we worship, when we ask God to step into our lives, when we are going into difficult times, when we feel desperate and lonely and desolate. Imagine what happens when we speak. There's this flurry of activity in heaven, and God comes into action, and God sees, and God cares, and God acts, and God touches my life, and God meets me right there in my moment, exactly where I am, and I see the unseen. Let me take you back to the story. I think Jacob made the assumption that he was just running away so that he could survive. And maybe see if something can happen a little later. Until, of course, he runs into God. And everything changes. Because there, in that same moment, God speaks to Jacob. I am the Lord, he says. And just see that God just states exactly who this is. And then he qualifies that. The God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. And when God speaks to this backstabbing, heel-grabbing so-and-so, did you see what God did? God did not roll back the past and say, liar, thief, deceiver. Whoa, look at you. God did not judge Jacob. Actually, God does quite the opposite. God repeats to him all of the blessings that God gave to Abraham and to Jacob's father, Isaac. And God says, I'll bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I will be with you. I will bring you back to this land and I will multiply you. That's what God says to him. Now just think about this for a moment. Jacob is just being Jacob. Slimy trickster, heel grabber. He doesn't pray. There's no faith in all of this. Jacob does nothing, but God does everything. Now, if you've ever asked for a picture of grace or wanted to see a picture of who God really is and God's being, God's grace given so abundantly and freely, here's your picture. God graciously speaking these amazing words to Jacob. God taking the initiative into the life of this man. And when God speaks to Jacob, he speaks a brand new, different future into the life of Jacob. He meets him where he is, despite of the fact that Jacob doesn't even ask, doesn't care, no faith. No prayer. And God speaks. And God gives. And God blesses. And He will. And He still does. And yes, I know someone is thinking, I've never heard God speak. I don't think He does that anymore. I have a question for you. What do you think He's doing right now? Isn't this a holy moment? Don't you think that God planned this moment for you to be present, to hear God speak these words of grace, love, care? Or God just wants to say to you, I love you. I'll be there for you. You might feel all alone and desperate. You might feel that it's all been stripped away, but I am there for you. If only you'll take a moment and you will see the unseen and you will hear my words of blessing that I speak into your life. Let me end the story. Let's go back to verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. In that barren, desolate, desperate place, Jacob says, surely the Lord is in this place. See, we don't expect God in those barren, desperate places, do we? We think God only speaks and appears in worship services, in the Easter service, in the Christmas Eve service, in a rally service. But to find God in my desperate moments, in my wilderness at Luz moments, well, next time you find yourself there, go read the story of Jacob. He was desperate, homeless, helpless, penniless. And God finds him And Jacob finds a father that God would be. And Jacob's whole life is turned around, and that pillar of pain becomes this pillar of hope. And the place called Luz is rededicated to a place called Bethel. In Hebrew, Beit means house of, and El means God. And this place becomes not the place of desolation and desperation, but the house of God. So here's the thing. Do not, when you go through these desperate places, interpret the presence of pain and struggle as the absence of God. For God appears in places where sometimes we are so surprised. And just for a moment, if I stop and look around, maybe my pillar changes into a pillar of hope. And I too can say, I never knew this, but surely God is in this place. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this possible dream where we can see the unseen and know that you will meet us where we are and that you will be there. Thank you for reminding us through the Jacob story that it's all about your grace and not about who we are and how great we are, but how amazing and how gracious you are. Thank you for that amazing conduit that runs between heaven and earth called your grace. Thank you that you are with us on our journey, every step. And we can say every day, how awesome is this place? For surely the Lord is in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome. This is the table of the Lord, and it is prepared for you. What a wonderful moment to share the sign, the bread of forgiveness, the wine of release, where the Lord Jesus says, look at these signs, and when you see, remember me. Listen to the language that it speaks to you. So as we gather around the table of the Lord, let's pray for the Lord's blessing. And I'm also going to lead you in the Apostles' Creed as part of our prayer. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this amazing table, for this sign of your love, for the sign that says, here are my arms that reach out to you and hold you. Here are the gifts of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, my Son, where you remind us, Lord Jesus, as you eat and as you drink, remember me and what I did. We pray for your blessing, Lord. Bless the bread as we break that bread in a moment and share that. Bless the wine as we are reminded of your blood that was shed for us for a perfect redemption. We thank you that you speak loud and clear. In this moment, Lord, we say the words that the church has said for so many ages. And we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In the night that our Lord Jesus was delivered into the hands of the soldiers and those that would take him to his cross, he reclined at the table with his disciples. And he said to them, I've longed to share this moment with you. And then he explained. He took the bread. And as he broke the bread, he says, this is my body. This is for you. Take this bread and eat. And every time you eat, remember me. So as we take this bread, remember this is a sign that his body was broken as a perfect redemption for all of our sins so that we may be made whole in Jesus Christ. So let us share in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing this world to break your body, to take all of our sins and to put it on your body so that you might take that for us and we, Lord, might be forgiven. As we eat this bread of forgiveness, we give you thanks that we may know that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. After the meal, the Lord Jesus took the cup of thanksgiving. And as he blessed this cup of thanksgiving, he says, this cup is the new covenant that is sealed in my blood. Take this cup and drink, each one of you. And as you drink, remember that my blood was given as a perfect redemption for all of your sins. So take this cup and drink the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood. Thank you that as we stand beneath the cross and your blood flows, it flows over us and it cleanses us and washes us and makes us brand new. Thank you for reminding us of that in the word, Lord, when you say that there at the cross, that IOU that was written against us was washed and doesn't exist anymore because it was washed in the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the gift of your blood. Amen. As we say goodbye, And as we part from the table, let's say a prayer of thanksgiving, and I'm going to lead you into the Lord's Prayer as part of this Thanksgiving prayer. So let's pray. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, for they are new every morning, new every morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all of the deeds that the Lord has done for you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for I have sat at the table of the Lord, and I have been fed on the finest bread and the finest wine of the gifts of Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, hear as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now as you go into this world and into this week, go with God's blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of all kings. The love of God, our Heavenly Father. And the constant closeness, care, indwelling of the Holy Spirit will be with you. Amen.